Gentlemen, start your engines.
Tune up your motorsports knowledge. Power Up Motorsports Channel.
No, he didn't slam you. He didn't bump you. He didn't nudge you. He rubbed you. And rubbing sun is racing.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
This is Pit Pass USA, the fastest auto racing location on the internet, with the latest news, the best interviews, and our own brand of commentary. Here's your host, Larry Henry.
Hi, everyone. Another edition of Pit Pass USA. Glad to have you along on this Tuesday evening. And we're getting ready for, of course, what is this now? Round four of the NASCAR Sprint Cup Chase for the Cup. This weekend out at Auto Club Speedway. I still call it California Speedway. At least it was that when I used to go there all the time. In the past, out in Fontana, California. Going to be very, very interesting. I do want to make a note at the very beginning. We were going to have Dario Franchitti, this year's Indianapolis 500 winner and the IndyCar champion, on the show. Unfortunately, a scheduling problem arose. Dario will be with us next week. It kind of happens. I think what happened was he fell into the pool the other night at the awards banquet in, you know, in South Beach, and it took a while to dry out or something like that. Anyway, Dario will be joining us next week, but tonight we will be talking to 14-time NHRA Funny Car Champion John Force, who leads the points going to the fourth of six races in the countdown to one this weekend at Reading. And also we're going to talk about some extreme sports, extreme auto racing, with Tanner Faust, who does it all, and you probably see him on television. But first, maybe the big news of the day is in NASCAR, where Richard Childress Racing lost its bid to overturn Clint Bowyer's championship-ending penalty. NASCAR Chief Appellate Officer John Middlebrook ruled Bowyer will not get back the 150 points he was docked after his winning car in New Hampshire on September 19th failed inspection. It was, what, 60 thousandths of an inch off on the measurements. Middlebrook did reduce two portions of NASCAR's penalties against Richard Childress Racing. Crew Chief Shane Wilson's $150,000 fine was reduced to $100,000. And the six-race suspensions for Wilson and Car Chief Chad Haney were cut to four. Now, Middlebrook, this is the first decision that he has made. He gets a buck a year, believe it or not, in this. He said, "I'm ruling NASCAR was correct in its decision to levy penalties. I believe that the revisions that have been made to the penalties are consistent and fair to both parties involved." You remember last week a three-judge panel ruled against Richard Childress Racing. Richard Childress upset with the way things were handled in that hearing and then asked for this appeal. Now, today he talked right after the hearing was over, before the ruling was handed down, did not make any statement following other than putting out this statement where it said, "I'm disappointed the results are not what we wanted, but I feel we received a fair hearing today." This is what he said following the hearing before the penalties were handed out.
"Continue for us to state our case today, and I'd just like to ask the race fans, let's put all this behind us. Let's go racing. And we got some of the greatest racing coming up in the Chase, tightest Chase. We got two cars sitting there now with the opportunity to win, and we've been focused. We want to get back to racing for the championship."
Richard, was the process different than last week? How it went?
"Yes, totally different, and it was a very fair process this week."
"What made it fair?"
"We all sat in a room and talked about it."
"Together?"
"Yes."
"Can you say who spoke for your side today, or who they talked to?"
"No, you know, that's about all I've really got is, you know, I'm just now anticipating what the outcome's going to be, and whatever it is, I feel it'll be fair. You know, we presented our case."
"Can you tell us about your relationship with John Middlebrook? You've known each other a long time."
"No. John Middlebrook, John was with GM, and I'm sure that's a big question in everybody's mind. John was with General Motors. The only time I didn't go have dinners with him and stuff like that, I might have been at the banquet and somewhere with him. The only time that never had any casual time with him, maybe one time I was on a quail hunt with him. Other than that, no. Nothing. He's going to be a fair person, and whatever the outcome is, I've just told him in there with Darby, you know, whatever it is, we're going to accept it."
Do you feel like he listened to you and heard you out more so than the other panel?"
"I think he listened to both sides."
Why was it better to have you all in the same room? Why was that fairer to do?
Well, we could ask John questions. John could ask us questions, or we could each one comment and hear the other one's comments. Uh-huh. And that made it very fair.
Did you present anything today that you didn't present last week, or did you have to?
No.
Did Dr. Manning speak?
No.
You were really skeptical last week about the process and everything. And now you're talking about let's move on and get to the race and the chase. Is that how you feel, or is that something NASCAR wants you to say?
No, that's exactly how I feel. I've had two miserable weeks. I missed an elk hunt, and I missed the opportunity to be in Montana, so I'm real not happy about that. All I want to do is move on.
Yeah. So if it is not going your favor, probably no more comments from you, no more angst?
No more. Let's go racing, you know, because today I felt when we told our story, NASCAR told theirs, I felt it was a fair opportunity for both sides.
It's been a 3 full-week thing here with a lot of he said, she said involved. What have you learned in general about the way that NASCAR proceeds through these processes with teams?
You know, I think that today's procedure, if it was done similar to that at the other appeal, we wouldn't be here today. I would not have appealed if it would have been done like today, we would have never appealed it the second time.
Even if it wasn't in your favor?
Yes. No. Because I would have felt that we had the opportunity to ask them and they had the opportunity to ask us, and we heard a little bit of both sides today, and we didn't get to hear that in the last appeal.
Was there anything they said that made you feel a little uncomfortable with what they did?
Who is they?
NASCAR.
Today? No. No different. We heard the story today. Last appeal, we didn't get to hear it.
And what was their story then? We haven't heard their whole story.
The same stuff we had last week. We'll just see how it comes out.
How do you, it seems, you know, the 33 was running so well for a good 5-6 weeks, and then since New Hampshire, since the word came down, their performance has kind of dropped off. How do you get their heads back in it and get them running well where they'd been running before?
Yeah, that's a fair question. You know, we hit the wall at Dover, and this past week the car was really loose, and we finally got him going good enough to get back and get going pretty good. I think if we'd have had track position, he would have been running better. But, you know, a lot of people say, well, these cars didn't qualify good. We haven't never qualified very well. I've heard that statement come out, but we also finished second at Dover after this, and we finished third last week, and Burton was running fourth till he got so loose right there at the end. So our cars are competitive, and this had, you know, what happened here is behind us right now.
Do you feel this spoils Clint's season?
Oh, definitely. It's a chance to win the championship, and, you know, the two finishes that we had didn't help it either. Mm-hmm. Even without this, the two finishes we've had didn't help us.
One or two more, kid.
And that's Richard Childress. Again, that was right after the hearing ended, before the ruling came down. And again, they reduced the crew chief Shane Wilson's $150,000 fine to $100,000, 6-race suspensions for Wilson and car chief Chad Heaney. Cut the four, but the big blow, of course, was 150 championship points, which drops the 33 right now, 252 points out of the lead. Clint Bowyer basically is done. Any hopes of winning the Sprint Cup title this year have gone out the window because of that penalty after New Hampshire. And so now it's just for pride out on the racetrack, and he's had a couple of miserable races. And that's not good for him. Hopefully they can get it back, but he's going to be without his crew chief. So now that the hearing has been held, the next four races, he will be without his crew chief and his car chief at the racetrack. And we'll see how that affects him, especially this weekend at Auto Club Speedway out in California. So that was the big news of the day. And speaking of heading to California this weekend, when you take a look at the points, the guy that made a big move last week was Greg Biffle, of course, winding up the winner this past weekend. That moved him up into, 8th spot, and he is 85 points out of lead. But the problem is he's looking up at Jimmy Johnson, the four-time champion, is back atop the points, making people wonder, can he be stopped? Can Biffle now go after him and everyone else now that Johnson's got his familiar spot at the very top of the point standings?
They've had a lot of races, or they've had more races this year.
hit and miss than the 48 team normally has. So I feel like, you know, they're not, you know, clearly running away with this thing yet. So, you know, it's not, you know, we're not going to throw in the towel, and I don't think any of those other guys that are a lot closer are. So we'll just wait and see. You know, I think we're going to have to wait three or four more races before we get a clear picture of, you know, how they're going to be. They're going to have to perform. Obviously, they're good at performing at these racetracks. Jimmy's won a lot at California. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see. Maybe California, he doesn't come out of there with a win or even a top five. So we'll just have to wait and see how this shakes out. But we're going to continue to try and do the best we can as a 16 team and try and close in on them.
Greg Biffle does have one win and four top fives out at Auto Club Speedway, so he is looking forward to this weekend. Meanwhile, Kyle Busch, he had problems last weekend, but he motored on, and he's only 80 points out of the lead. California, one win and four top fives during his career.
I like California. It's fun. It's real wide. It's kind of flatter than Michigan, so it's a little harder to kind of get a hold of, but you can really spread out. I mean, there in the spring, we saw guys all the way down at the white line. We saw guys all the way up at the wall, so it seemed to be a really good race there. You know, it'll be a really fun racetrack. It's widened out, and it's become where you can race all over it. And with the race being as long as it is, you know, you need to take a lot of time at working through traffic and being able to have a good car and all that. So, I mean, it's the same thing every week, but California is just another one of those racetracks that, you know, seems to suit Jimmy really, really well. And, you know, I mean, he's been in contention to win the past six races there, I think, and he's probably won four of them. So, I mean, that's another place we know he'll be fast.
And someone to really watch is Carl Edwards. The 99 car has been the picture of consistency right now. Edwards goes in 53 points out of the lead. He's got one win at Auto Club Speedway, and how about 10 top 10s in his career?
California's fun. You know, it's so different out there, so it's always interesting to go there. We've got a bunch of stuff going on around the racing. To race on that racetrack takes the whole team, you know, just like Michigan does. You got to have huge horsepower. The aero package has got to be good. And the other thing about it, it drives like a big dirt track. You know, you can run at the bottom of the racetrack, or you can run 80 feet or however far it is up around the top. And on a two-mile racetrack, that's a pretty big deal, you know, to drive down the corner and slide it to the top of the racetrack. And it's a finesse track. It's a fast racetrack, and it changes a lot throughout the race. So I really enjoy it. You know, people have knocked it for maybe getting strung out, but, I mean, it's 2 miles long. You know, 43 cars doesn't look that, like that. You know, they don't look that grouped together, spread out around a two-mile racetrack. But for the drivers, it's at least for me, it's always been really fun to drive. So I look forward to it.
Well, we started this conversation off with Richard Childress Racing and the penalty that was given to the 33 car. But how about the 29 of Kevin Harvick? For most of the season, he held on the number one spot in the points. Of course, when they resent them going into the chase, he dropped down. But right now, he's only 30 points out of the lead in third. And, oh, yeah, in February, he finished second at Auto Club Speedway.
I feel like I let one slip away there, just making a mistake, getting into the wall there at the end. We still obviously had a good finish. Jeff ran really well there too. So we're looking forward to going back. Obviously, a lot can change. It's been a hot summer, and the racetrack will be different. But it's been a good racetrack for us over the last couple of years, and we're really looking forward to going back. So we need to, like I say, we need to capitalize over the next couple of weeks on making something happen.
Of course, everyone right now looking up to the very familiar 48 car, that Lowe's Chevrolet, Jimmy Johnson, Chad Knaus, the crew chief atop the points. They're only 8 points up on Denny Hamlin, who's in second, but they're going to Auto Club Speedway. It's Jimmy Johnson's own personal playground. How about 5 wins? He's got 4 seconds. The last 8 races, how about 4 wins, 2 seconds, and a third? Oh, and a ninth in that group, too. He is just about unstoppable in Southern California.
That track has been huge in my career. From my first win, as you pointed out, to the success we've had there in the chase, collecting points, getting a win, bonus points perspective. Early in the year, we were able to get those 10 points there. The track has been really, really good to me. The foundation aspect, Lowe's, you know, once again, is being extremely generous with the car and letting us run the Jimmy Johnson Foundation scheme on the car. And it all ties into an event that we have beforehand with our golf tournament and a lot of money we raise and distribute through the San Diego area. So it's a big weekend for me across the board. And the win has always been the icing on the cake and really, really important for our championship stretch. And I hope to have the same success going back.
Yeah, we'll see what happens this weekend. It is going to be interesting, obviously, at Auto Club Speedway. So they'll get you caught up to date on all that. Next up, we're going to talk to John Force, the 14-time NHRA champion, when we return to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry here on the Power Up Motorsports Channel. Power Up, your motorsports channel. See it, read it, feel it.
Are you ready for a fresh, candid, and entertaining look at sports? It's time for a radio show that doesn't tackle sports like everyone else. Join former NFL player Nick Murphy for Murphy's Law. Hear it directly from your favorite pro and collegiate athletes, coaches, and media personalities as they dissect what's going on in the world of sports. It's sports, entertainment, and fun, and it's all part of Murphy's Law. Tune in Friday afternoons at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Get ready for a show that breaks ground on the subject of women in motorsports and what it takes to dream, believe, achieve. Gas and Go with Allie O is all about the movement that is happening lightning fast in women's racing. You'll get a wide array of perspectives from the drivers to the fans, as well as what it takes to be a role model in a male-dominated sport. Join your host, professional driver Allie Owens, for Gas and Go with Allie O, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, on the Power Up Motorsports Channel.
Want to join our pit crew? Are you a motorsports expert? Jump into the driver's seat and get your voice heard. To learn more about our broadcasting opportunities, contact us at 480-294-6417. That's 480-294-6417. Or email us at info@voiceamericanetwork.com. That's info@voiceamericanetwork.com. See it, breathe it, feel it.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now, back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry.
Halfway through the countdown to one, still in the points lead. It's only 25, but it's better to be first than to be second, third, or fourth.
Well, it really is. And, you know, coming from, you know, the crash that I had a few years ago, me personally and for my team to be back in the running and to have three cars in this countdown. And, you know, we got to still look at the other Fords, Daska and Wilkerson. We got five of us having a shot at this championship against the others. So to be in the lead is good, but it's not that much of a lead. So we just got to stay focused and try to knock out rounds.
We're speaking with John Force, the 14-time NHRA Funny Car Champion, right now atop the point standings, halfway through the countdown to one in the NHRA, heading to Reading, Pennsylvania. How much did making it all the way to the finals last time out build your confidence going into Reading this weekend?
I really wanted to get a win there at Dallas. My daughter took me out at Indy, and then at Charlotte, you know, I was taken out there first round. It shows you anybody can beat you on any given day. But to come back in the final, it was good. I wanted to win Dallas. You know, a lot of the reason was because of my crash there. I wanted to get closure to flying out in that helicopter. I hated it. And it's just kind of a mental thing, but I have to move beyond that. I got to come back next year and try to do it again. But at the end of the day, the car was running good, not so good in the final, smoked the tires, taken out by a kid that's really a good kid named Matt Hagan. And he's going to fight all the way to the end, you know, in these last three races. But it gives me confidence because my car had the consistency during qualifying and what it needed during the race to win the race. We just couldn't get the job done.
Now, when you look at these final three races, the conditions are going to be totally different from what you've been running in the last few months, beginning with Reading this weekend. I mean, it could be a very, very cool. A lot of people are talking around and
you got to be at 4.0 just to be in the hunt for this thing.
Well, you know, the engineering and technology that we've got from Ford, not just the chassis and body designs of the Arrow, but the Boss 500 motor that we built with Ford, that when it really pays off is when you got the gorilla conditions of good air, which makes a cool racetrack, when you can hit it with all you got. And they, Robert just told me today, Redding is supposed to be killer. The air is supposed to be great. I was on the phone with Tasca yesterday on other issues where we're going next year in the motor program. But it's exciting because Tasca runs our program. And so he knows he can make those big numbers too in that Motorcraft Ford. So as well as us, you know, with the Auto Club and Castrol, we're going to do some damage. You know, we ain't guaranteeing we're going to win the race at Reading, but one of these teams are going to, we're going to do some damage.
A lot of people are talking about national records this weekend at Reading, and of course there's big bonus points involved. How do you feel about that? Do you think so with the conditions they're going to have?
Well, without a doubt, every point counts. You know, the two cars of each session pick up points. And Robert got 1 year when I kept him out of Houston in 07 when Eric crashed and was killed. And I wouldn't let any of my cars, Ashley or anybody run, including myself. Robert only missed the championship by 1 point. And it's very critical. You don't think about 1 point until you're down to that. Boy, that when you're right down to the end, you know, at Pomona. So every round counts and a national record. You know, that's 20 points. And if anybody can put that national record on the board, it's this Boss 500 motor makes big power. And I think we can get the job done, one of these Ford teams.
Well, it's going to be an unbelievable weekend. How big is this for you? I know you were disappointed not winning Dallas. You touched on that. But, you know, to come back from what you went through with the injuries, and here you are at the age of 60, a little past that, and you're right there. You're the top of the points. You're three races away from getting number 15. Do you even think about that at all yet, or you go, I'm not doing that until we get through that final round of Pomona?
You know, it'd be like talking to Brett Favre about winning the Super Bowl. You get your head in the wrong place, that's how you lose. Nope, we're staying focused. I was in Indy over the weekend looking at our motor program, our chassis program. We got cars going up to Ford Motor Company to be put on a railroad track and sent down and crashed. We're going to learn everything we can about safety, because safety and winning has to go hand in hand. And we've got it covered as long as we continue to work with Ford and the other sponsors and keep moving ahead. But right now, nope, I don't want to think about anything but winning the race, winning rounds. And if there's a national record there, let me tell you, Jimmy Prock, the guys on this team, Jimmy, he likes to run on a bad track. He likes to go after a national record. That's what Robert still got a shot. He got hurt last week when I beat him first round in the Auto Club Ford. But he's got a shot, and he's coming in just like Tasca and Ashley, guns a-blazing. We'll see what happens.
Is this a make-or-break weekend for people like Robert Hyde, for Bob Tasca? I know Bob's talked about that a lot, that he really needs to get to the finals or win at Reading. Of course, he's the defending winner at Reading. But for guys like that, for Robert to keep his title hopes alive again, they've got to do something. This is where you can, with a good weekend, put space between the rest of the field and settle it down to maybe two or three guys battling out.
But see, I always go in with an attitude, it ain't over till we say it's over. You know what I mean? Because you got to believe every day. You know, Robert said, boy, I'm hurting your force. And, you know, when you beat me first round, but I said, Robert, you know that if everybody falls, including me, and you make a move, you could be right back in this game with two races left after Reading. But yes, it is crucial, because it isn't just me that they're chasing. Even if, you know, there's three, four cars ahead of them, us, myself, Ashley, and the Schumacher team. And so it isn't that they got to just beat me. Not everybody can fail. You know what I mean? If I happen to go out first round or Hagen, the others could go out. So I'm looking a little bit better, but not by much. We got to focus, go in there, qualify on the high side of the board, and come out swinging Sunday morning. And that's the attitude. Never say it's over, and you know, and until the last bell, so to speak. And I want my guys to have that attitude. That's what I told Bobby Tasca yesterday. Bobby, And, you know, you race for your sponsors. I race for mine. But we're all on a Ford. If we can't win it, we sure in heck hope you can. And so, because at the end of the day, a lot of money spent. Ford needs this help to get back. You know, they never took a stimulus deal from the government. They fought this thing out, and we're going to fight the same way they did to keep that company alive. We're going to fight to keep this championship alive.
Are we going to see a lot of what's going to take place this weekend in qualifying and in rounds 1 and 2 and 3 and 4? And it's really important to get that first good run down the track, isn't it, on Friday?
It is. I've raced at Maple Grove for years because I went from the West Coast. They booked me in the early days. Epping, New Hampshire, up north, Englishtown, Reading, Atco Raceway. I was all over. Nobody knows this place better than Austin Coyle. You know what I mean? And he's teamed up with Bernie Federle for all those championships. And they got a young kid on board, Mike Neff, that's really, really has pulled me out of the cellar, just bringing some new young energy to the ball game. You know what I'm saying? But we can go there, and we can run if the weather makes a turn and we get heat. We can still adjust to that, okay? But, boy, if those clouds come in and it's cool air, let me tell you, there will be some national records set, and I think you'll see it somewhere inside the Force camp.
Well, when I go back to Indianapolis, when you did those night runs on Friday night and on Saturday, it was just incredible speeds going down the dragway, and with the cooler temperatures in Reading, I can't fathom what we're going to see this weekend if all goes according to what everybody thinks is going to happen. I mean, the fans aren't going to be able to sit down. They're just going to be going, wow.
Well, it's really what it's all about. Our sport, different from NASCAR, you know what I mean? They run in a pack. You know, they've got to, you know, conserve the brakes, the tires. They got to do everything, the gas. In drag racing, it's full throttle. It's all out. And, you know, it's nighttime racing, daytime racing, header fire, header smoke, the smell of nitro. Greatest show on earth. And the fans in Reading, they pack the house, and they love it. And we're going to give them a show. But in the end, we hope to give them a win that leads on to a championship.
I got to ask you, how's the new scooter working out, the one you got at Indianapolis at the U.S. Nationals?
My Kymco, I really love it. It's taken me a little bit different. It's a little bit different than my other bike, but they're just great people, and they've worked with us. We'll be giving this one away, you know, later on next year. At our midway trailer, we're giving away a Ford Fiesta. Castrol's got giveaways, Auto Club. With Pleasant Holidays, we got boat cruises. With Brand Source, we're giving away washers and dryers and TVs and Mac toolboxes. So we got a lot of stuff going on to bring the fans in, to excite them, to let them have a fun day. In this economy, to give stuff away, it's really good. It really makes people feel good, and it helps our numbers. And then it motivates us to get out on that track, you know, to show that we have great products with our sponsors. But at the end of the day, we got great race teams. We don't just talk a good story. Like I said, we may not get the championship, but let me tell you, those Fords are going to go down swinging at the end if they don't. But I think they got a pretty good shot.
Someone we haven't talked about is your daughter, Ashley. Started off great with the win, of course, at the U.S. Nationals. She's hanging right in there, only 68 points back. We kind of, some people may be forgetting about Ashley, but she could be right there and win this thing.
All she needs to do is one race, and she proved that at Indy. You know, she's had great at Indy. She just seems to have the luck. You know what I mean? She's the only woman to ever win Indy twice in a funny car. But the only woman, even with the men, only a handful, Perdome, a few of them that had done back-to-back Indy wins. Not even myself. I've won it 4 or 5 times, but I've never gone back-to-back. But she also won it when she drove the A-Fuel Dragster for Brand Source and Ford and Castrol. So at the end of the day, boy, she's got their number at Indy. Redding's a different animal. She was on fire there last year. We fixed it. We brought her back. She won the round, and then she got put out because her car was too light. So, you know, at the end of the day, everything is crucial. And her weight, because she's small, it's so critical to keeping that car light and on the numbers. And yet, John Force, I live in the gym now. That was my fight to get back. If I can't do the job for Ford and all the sponsors, I need to get out of the seat. And I'm doing the job because I live in the gym. I went last night when I was in Indy in the afternoon before I got on a plane, and I'll be going here in a couple hours when I get through, you know, doing the radio call-ins. I'll be back in that gym. I need to keep my weight right. but I got to keep my muscle so I can drive that animal of a race car.
Okay, before I let you go, what do you think is going to be the low ET in funny car at Reading? Give us a number.
I really believe I've seen O2. When you got that kind of a track, it's a good racetrack. And when you got the air when it's good, and then it sets in the trees in that beautiful area, the big numbers will fall. I think we've already seen O2. Robert Hyde in the Auto Club car ran O2. I think they're going to at least run O2, and I'm willing to bet on it. It's going to be a Ford. Ashley's hot rod's flying. Robert's car, it'll run national records. They just got to find that balance of consistency. And my race car, we're going to push it when we get there. So Tasca will, and so will Wilkerson. We're giving our all for Ford, but for all the companies that we're under contract to prove that the investment they made in NHRA being the official car, it's going to be great.
John, good luck this weekend, and have a safe one, too.
Appreciate it.
That is John Forrest, the forever energetic one at age 60-plus. He is something of a fan favorite. You got to see him at the racetrack. I mean, he's there signing autographs, taking pictures with the fans, running around on his scooter. I mean, he is just unbelievable, and right now he's leading the points, three races away from getting number 15, and what a story that would be. It is going to be an interesting weekend this weekend out in Reading, Pennsylvania. Well, next up, we're going to turn our attention to Action Motorsports. What is that? We're going to explain that to you when we talk to Tanner Faust next up here on Pit Pass USA with Larry Hendring and the Power Up Motorsports Gym.
From IndyCar Racing to Powerboats to Formula One and NASCAR, you're listening to PowerUpChannel.com, your motorsports channel.
In 1977, an 8-year-old boy picked up the game of golf from his father. The odds of that same boy winning the US Open twice? 1 in 1.2 billion. The odds of him having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 150. Ernie Els encourages you to learn the signs of autism at autismspeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Get ready for a show that breaks ground on the subject of women in motorsports and what it takes to dream, believe, achieve. Gas and Go with Allie O is all about the movement that is happening lightning fast in women's racing. You'll get a wide array of perspectives from the drivers to the fans, as well as what it takes to be a role model in a male-dominated sport. Join your host, professional driver Allie Owens, for Gas and Go with Allie O, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, on the Power Up Motorsports Channel.
The IS Outdoors Talk Radio Show brings two well-known outdoorsmen to the Voice America Network with hunting and fishing info news, talking about everything from new sporting gear, places to hunt and fish, and getting more from your recreation time. Join hosts Brock Ray and Don Kirk Thursday mornings at 7 a.m. Pacific Time for IS Outdoors on the Voice America Sports Channel. With their combined experience of 60 years in the woods, Brock and Don have traveled widely, creating TV shows and writing articles on hunting and fishing. Blessed with down-home humor, they are also well-versed in environmental concerns, firearms ownership, and animal rights issues. IS Outdoors offers brisk interaction with the audience, soliciting opinions and questions on a wide range of outdoors subjects. Tune in every Thursday morning at 7 a.m. Pacific Time to the IS Outdoors Talk Radio Show with Brock Ray and Don Kirk, right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Everything motorsports. See it, breathe it, feel it. PowerUpChannel.com.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Hendring. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHendring@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHendring@PitPassUSA.com. Now back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA with Larry Hendring.
I really don't know how to introduce my next guest here. Let's see. He races in Formula Drift. He races rally and rallycross, was double gold medal winner at the X Games this summer in rally and super rally. He's getting ready to run in the Lucas Oil Off-Road Racing Series. And he's also a TV star with, I think, three different TV series he's involved with. That's Tanner Fouse. Tanner, welcome.
Oh, well, thanks, Larry. Wow, it makes me sound tired. I feel tired just hearing all that stuff.
Well, I understand you're also working on World Peace at the same time. You had a little extra time somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. No, it sounds like a lot, but really it's just, you know, in making a living behind the wheel, sometimes there's a lot of diversity that happens if you're lucky. And I'm really lucky that I get to dabble in a lot of different parts of this very cool industry of motorsport.
Of course, this past summer, I mentioned the X Games. You got double gold in Rally and Super Rally aboard your Rockstar Energy drink Ford Fiesta.
Yeah, that was that was great. X Games has been this this halo event in the year of action sports for a long time, and it's really a unique thing. It's hard to describe how big the jumps are and how big the events are in all of their disciplines. And in 2006, when they brought in cars. Rally cars for the first time, it's been a real spike for that style of driving here in the U.S. And we've got a lot of action sports athletes involved. The cars now have some very cool cars involved. And this year there were two car-based events in the X Games, so it was awesome.
Well, the one, the Super Rally, I think, was more like what you're doing in Rallycross, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. There's stage rally where the cars are driving through the forest and you have a co-driver telling you where to go, and that's kind of one car at a time versus the clock. And then Super Rally or Rallycross is up to six cars door-to-door starting on a short course and just bashing it out for a five- or six-lap race. And so there's a lot more contact, and it can be pretty exciting to watch in a small format like that. But with X Games style, of course, they have big jumps and, and the cars are 600 horsepower, like the Fiesta that I drive goes 0 to 60 in 2.2 seconds. So that's really awesome stuff.
Well, this last weekend, you were actually doing a Rallycross, European Rallycross. They ran at New Jersey Motorsports Park a few weeks ago, and then they ran this past weekend. You were the winner this past weekend, and I know you've been raving about that the number of cars is growing, and that this action sport is actually looks like it's beginning to get a toehold in America. Explain exactly what that is. I mean, what the sport is.
Well, Rallycross, European-style Rallycross, it started out in the 60s as the retirement ground for those crazy 800-horsepower Group B rally cars. And you take essentially all-wheel drive cars that are, anywhere from, 500 to 600 horsepower. I line them up door to door on a track that's only about a mile and a half long, and the track is half pavement and half gravel. And they have a short 5-6 lap race, and it's just, all or nothing. The cars are incredibly quick. There's lots of sliding and jumping and things like that because of the gravel component. And, it makes for, it's kind of like a highlight reel of motorsport. And in Europe, this stuff has been going on, like I said, from the 60s. And there are 100 cars that show up for every event. Here in the States, we're just getting started. But in only our second event, we've already nearly doubled the lineup of cars. We've got four manufacturers involved. And, it's just awesome stuff. It's really cool to be on the front edge of a cool sport like that.
In time with Tanner Fouse, who drives the Rockstar Energy drink Ford Fiesta and a ton of different series, Rallycross. He's getting ready to do Formula Drift this weekend. Their season finale event is coming up, so he's involved in that, which goes into the Rallycross because you got a lot of drifting that's also involved with that. But, Tanner, you talked about the action motorsports, and when I look at it and I see the young people, when I see what motocross has done, the Stadium Motocross packing in 80,000 in places like San Diego and all, and now I've seen the X Games. This seems to be the cutting edge. This seems to be where the young people are beginning to migrate to, not only as the people on the track, but as spectators.
Well, I mean, you see, movies like and TV shows like Nitro Circus and, these shows that are really pushing the limits. It's almost like where we get kind of desensitized to really extreme things. And when Ken Block comes out with these killer Gymkhana videos, we're just used to seeing crazy stuff on screen. And the X Games is, fits right into that. The events and everything, the disciplines, whether it's supercross or skateboarding or BMX bike, when you go to the X Games, the jumps are always a bit bigger. You know, the speeds are always much higher, and it's the extreme, and that's really what we've, you know, that's the standard bear now is, you know, the biggest events have the biggest jumps, and when you apply that to cars, Super Rally is what you get. And so there's a pretty cool crossover that's happening, Larry, that, you know, is easy to see, where you get these athletes from X Games that have been doing this for 10, 15 years in some cases, and now maybe they're looking for a roll cage, you know, something around them, instead of just being out doing double backflips on their motorcycle, they'd maybe like to have, I think they say, with age comes a cage. And so it's a perfect ground for these well-established athletes from action sports to get into is rally racing and rally cross racing.
Well, you mentioned Ken Block's Gymkhana 3, which I have told people if they have not seen it, they need to go to, and they'll probably watch it about 20 times in a row going, I don't believe what I just saw. Do you ever have any aspirations to try to do, I mean, it's got to be tough for Ken Block to outdo himself each time he does one of these, and somehow he does it, but to do that considering all of the stuff that you were involved with on the television side?
Yeah, I love Ken's videos. I mean, and that is, you know, he's an amazing person putting together DC shoes from, you know, from scratch in his garage, and he brings a marketing element to our motorsports that really pushes everybody to reinvent how they represent their sponsors and how they expose their car and their skills to the general public. So it's very cool, the injection that he's put into the sport with the Gymkhana videos. And I like thinking about concepts of what's going to be the next video. And you know, we did do something with the drift car where we shut down Mulholland Drive, which is kind of the quintessential driver's road here in Southern California, and drifted up that 2 mile section of road, which was very cool. And for me, it all seems like kind of an excuse to do something really fun, but Ken manages to turn it into a great marketing plan, and it's something we can all learn from.
Well, let's talk about some of the other fun things you do, and it's on the TV side. One of those is the Battle of the Supercars, where you get to take on my old buddy Paul Tracy. What's it like doing that with PT?
Well, Paul is a good guy. I really like working with him. He's really ultra-competitive, as you know. What you see is what you get. You know, he's real straightforward, and we have a blast doing it. Those shows are pretty cool. You just show up, somebody hands you the keys to two ridiculous cars, and you battle it out. And it's just, you know, it's a really straightforward couple days of shooting, and we have a great time doing it. I really enjoyed getting to know Paul, and we have a lot in common sponsorship-wise. He's now sponsored by one of my oldest sponsors, Motegi Wheels. And so hopefully he'll be doing, you know, a lot more of a season next year, and we'll see, you know, the PT that I hate to make him sound old and say that I grew up watching, but almost. So it's, you know, it's really cool that, you know, he's still digging it hard and still super fast and taking another swing at the championship maybe.
Yeah, he doesn't give up. I will say that much about PT. I remember the first time he drove for Roger Penske at Michigan International Speedway. Remind him of this. I think he crashed within the first 10 laps and broke his leg in the crash coming off of turn 4, which didn't start out auspiciously. He's driving for Roger Penske in Indy type cars. You got a couple of other programs. One is Supercars Exposed, but you got a new one coming out, Top Gear USA, with people probably know Rutledge Wood from Speed TV.
Yeah, Rutledge Wood is a character, as you know. And this Top Gear is for people that don't know, is a show over in Europe, in the UK, that's an incredibly popular show. And this is a U.S. version of that, using the same format with different hosts and, you know, kind of an American style put on it. Basically, three guys having fun with cars. And we have had an absolute blast shooting this season so far. We've got 10 episodes. I think they start in December, and it's on the History Channel, which has just been a great fit. And it's something, I guess, you just have to see. It's hard to describe what that show's about.
Well, it does sound like you're a very busy
young man out there doing all of this. And I know you've got the Formula Drift this weekend where Von Gittin Jr. can wrap up the title, obviously, driving for Ford there this weekend out in California. And then you go right, what, into the Lucas Oil Off-Road Racing Series?
I did one of those. I did one a couple weekends ago, and it was insane. It was awesome. I mean, you come up to these huge jumps, and I'm riding around on a, you know, in like a Rhino with Brian Deegan, who's been racing in the Pro Light Series in a Ford truck for a long time now, and I asked him, okay, so how much do I break for this jump? You know, we got a big straightaway. We'll be going 80, 90 miles an hour. How much do I need to break? And every single jump, he's just like, just take it flat. No problem. Full throttle. And sure enough, I mean, you hit these jumps and you're catching, you're going, you know, over 100, 150 feet of distance in the air, and they just take the beating. So from a, behind the driving, the, you know, in the, behind the steering wheel, that was one of the most insane things I've ever done in a machine. So I'm looking forward to trying that again.
Well, it sounds like you're having a lot of fun, and I know you're getting ready to test, and good luck this weekend out in the season-ending Formula Drift event.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm going to do, I know that Ford's in, or that Von Gittin's in the Mustang and everything, but I'm going to do my best to take him down. We've got one shot at him. I'm sitting third in the championship, but it's a long shot, but it's going to be a battle out at Irwindale this weekend for sure.
That is Tanner Faust. That's a name you want to file away. All I want to do, though, is change careers. I want to become a chiropractor and start being involved in rally and rallycross and drifting and all this with the taking jumps and the off-road stuff. Because you know they're going to need a chiropractor. I mean, their backs are going to be banged up by the time they get done taking all those bumps coming when they land those cars there. Kind of like the Baja 1000, but you see some of the cars with what they do there. But Tanner Faust, an up-and-coming star, and you see him everywhere on TV right now. Next up, we'll kind of wrap up things with some news notes and a little conversation. We've returned to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry here on the Power of Motorsports Channel. You are on the inside track of motorsports drivers and teams. PowerUpChannel.com.
Listen for the right turn with J.J. O'Malley. It's an insider's look at America's fastest-growing motorsports series, the Grand-Am Rolex Sports Car Series, presented by Crown Royal Cask Number 16. You'll hear about what happened last weekend and get a preview of what's coming up next from the Rolex 24 at Daytona through Watkins Glen International, Mid-Ohio, Laguna Seca, right up to the championship at Homestead Miami Speedway. The right turn with J.J. O'Malley, broadcast live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, part of the Power Up Motorsports Series on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams, Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you. Every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
Do you want to know what's really going on these days? Well, Capital Thinking takes you inside the worlds of policy, politics, law, and business. What happens in Washington, on Wall Street, and in our nation's legal system impacts your business every day. We're taking you on a behind-the-scenes tour of all of it. Each week, we bring you unfiltered conversation with a variety of influential policymakers, lawyers, and business leaders. I'm Kevin O'Neill, and I'm your host as Capital Thinking tours the halls of power. Join me for Capital Thinking on the Voice America Business Network each Thursday at noon Eastern and 9 a.m. Pacific Time.
Power up with your favorite motorsport. You're listening to PowerUpChannel.com. See it, breathe it, feel it.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry.
A couple of news notes. As we mentioned at the beginning of the show, Richard Childress Racing lost their appeal to the president and chief executive officer of the appellate officer for NASCAR on the number 33 car and the 150 points that they got docked. So that means really that any chance for the 33 of winning the title is gone with 252 points back. Big topic of discussion this weekend is the David Ruderman, Kyle Busch incident at Kansas Speedway. Kyle Busch, of course, on lap 53, made contact with the double zero of David Ruderman. Ruderman spun into the safer barrier outside of turn two. Later on, Busch is running in the top 10, lap 156. He's on the outside of Ruderman. Busch is on the outside. Ruderman kind of drifts up, hits the 18 car, slams him up into the wall, severe damage to the car. Finally, Kyle Busch's team gets it repaired enough that he limps along and gets enough points to stay not in a bad position, 80 points out of the lead. Ruderman said, you know, I've had enough of all this, blah, 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 blah. Michael Waltrip kind of defending his driver. What do you expect from Michael Waltrip to say? So it's going to be interesting to see if that flares up again this weekend, especially with Kyle Busch being in the thick of the chase. And only 80 points out, anything can happen. I mean, you still got Talladega coming up down the road where who knows what's going to happen at Talladega. Also, another note, we know about Daytona from the Daytona 500 earlier this year with the pothole we had between turns 1 and 2. I was there because I'm one of the public address announcers at Daytona. Well, how about this little news note today? A sinkhole has formed at Charlotte Motor Speedway on the infield near the back end of the track. Speedway representatives said the sinkhole was likely caused by a recent spate of rain. In addition, part of the speedway is built on top of a landfill, which could have added to the issue. Crews have started work to fill the hole and hope to have it repaired before next week's Bank of America's 500. So keep your eyes open just in case. This was in the infield, but if you have one sinkhole and you're built on top of a landfill and you had all that rain they had, remember when the remnants of the tropical storm came up through there? Anything can happen in cold temperatures. That was partly what happened at Daytona. We had a lot of rain for 3 weeks. We had race cars. We had freezing temperatures the night before the Daytona 500. And it caused some problems. Now, another big topic of discussion in recent days has been television ratings for NASCAR. They have been much lower than they were a year ago. Of course, all the races right now are on ESPN, at least on the Cup side. Occasionally, they'll be on ABC, but mostly on ESPN. For last year, they were mostly on ABC and some on ESPN, but their ratings have been down. Even ESPN says we're looking into it, trying to figure out what's going on. NASCAR is concerned. And Greg Biffle was even asked about it, and he has kind of an interesting take on it.
I don't really know. I haven't, you know, been able to watch the, or I don't get all those stats. But one thing I do know, and I do feel, is that, you know, there's so many other ways today, and I think we're gonna continue to fight with this TV rating until we have a way to measure another way of finding out, keeping up with the race, because you can get it on your computer. You can get it. You can get it on your computer. You can get it on your phone. You can, you know, get everybody's tweeting the updates or lap by lap. So today, you don't have to sit in front of the TV. You don't have to watch it to still be an avid NASCAR fan and be involved in the sport and find out who's doing what and who's running where. There are so many other avenues, I think, and I think that has a lot to do with it, because I still see as many people as ever that are excited about our sport, that are paying attention, watching it, and you know, there are a lot of people in the grandstands. So I don't know the answer to the TV rating, you know, why that's not where it needs to be.
You know, he's got a lot of good points there, because if you go on Twitter during the race, you're going to see people going back and forth left and right and getting updates from the reporters in the media center and so on, and even some of the race teams. That is true. And, of course, you can get it on your cell phone and this, that, and the other. But how does that explain that the NFL is having bonanza ratings? Their ratings are actually up this year by quite a bit, where NASCAR is down. Is it, like my theory is, who would you go pay to see in NASCAR? Who would drive? I got to go see this guy race. Is there anybody like that right now? Where in the NFL, let's just say Tom Brady, you want to go see him. Peyton Manning, you want to go see him. I mean, there's a lot of players in the NFL you want to go see. I remember the days here with the Detroit Lions, even though they weren't that good. You would pay to go see Barry Sanders because he was special. Even though Jimmy Johnson has won 4 Sprint Cup titles back-to-back, does he excite you enough to say, I want to watch him on TV and see what he does today? Or is it, it doesn't excite you. It doesn't motivate you. It's not the situation, even in baseball, there are pitchers, there are batters that you want to go see play. Is there someone in NASCAR that drives you that way? And there is so much on NASCAR. I mean, the guys change shirts. It's somewhere online. It is somewhere online. There is nothing left to know about these guys. And I kind of think that goes into it. And I also think sometimes, even though, as I said, the NFL ratings are up, that you have to remember a lot of people are without jobs or they're working jobs and they're working maybe two jobs that they didn't do before. Maybe they don't have time to sit in front of the TV on Sunday afternoon and watch like they once did. America is changing, but as I said, when you look at the NFL and the numbers are up, you got to wonder, and they've got some exciting players out there in the NFL. Plus, the other thing is gambling in the NFL. You know those little cards that are everywhere. You don't have that in NASCAR, although they do. You can go lay a bet in Las Vegas on NASCAR if you'd like to do that. That's kind of my theory on the whole thing. Do want to make a note to you that in just over a week, 2 weeks from tomorrow, we actually will be on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern time, and we will be on the main Voice America Sports Channel. We're kind of making a shift, so mark that down. That will be in 2 weeks from tomorrow. And don't forget, next week, Dario Franchitti, I guarantee, will be with us. By the way, don't forget to drop us an email about the show or any guests you'd like to have on, Larry Henry at Pit Pass USA. You can go to Facebook, which is Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. Find us on Twitter, at Pit Pass USA. Thanks for joining us tonight. We will see you next Tuesday for the final time, right back here up on the Power Up Motorsports Channel.
Time to get ready for another great week of racing to talk about next time on Pit Pass. Tune in next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, for another fast-paced 200-mile-per-hour edition of Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry on Power Up, your motorsports channel.